gone through the wedding ceremony and the betrothal ceremony. So this is just, you know, review. If anybody's got any questions along that line, that's fine. I think the big thing that I want to cover quickly is we need to prepare. And how do we do that? And without going to those scriptures, my knee-jerk reaction in my spiritual DNA is the steps. So I think we prepare for the second coming. Well, second, we prepare for the rapture by following the steps. One, every day I got to wake up and pick up my cross. Lord, I need you. Two, I'm repenting for my sins and my mistakes and the old me is not the new me. So I leave the old me behind, and I've got the new me, which is my hope in Christ. And then the Holy Spirit is key. It is so key. Now I'm looking to do those things that bring God glory. All right? And then the Holy Spirit allows me to execute step five. Five is the number of mercy in the Bible. Now I'm being merciful. I know how to deal with others. So I'm watchful. I'm watchful. And in Christ, I had this conversation with my son-in-law yesterday. What are we watching for? What does Christ want us watching for? I think there's two things two main categories that Christ wants us to be watching for in preparation for this. One is watching that we're not deceived. I thought it was very interesting when we looked at Revelation 6 and we saw the riders on the white horse. You guys did fairly well, but I've asked that question of several others, and many people saw that rider on the white horse with the bow as Christ. And he's not. Yeah.
A lot of preachers, they missed Christ.
And that is... And so here's the thing that I like to stress about the feast. It opens your mindset to be able to understand prophecy and end times and how to respond in real time in right now situations. It just really does. It just clarifies those things. And so, you know, without the feast and things like that, I wouldn't really know. It would be hard for me unless I was under a study or somebody like, you know, David Jeremiah or somebody like that who's got those good revelation teachings out there. I would assume the same thing because I pick up stuff from my professional Christian life and said, oh, rider, white horse, must be Christ. And it makes so much sense as a believer to understand that that's counterfeit. And then, here's the thing, you ask the question, what is God intending and what are we seeing here? And do we see counterfeit stuff today? Yes. So now I know what to watch for as far as, you know, the counterfeit. But then when we look at the feast in Leviticus and we see there's that season in between where the book of Ruth comes in and we're supposed to be kind and not glean all the corners of our field. The second thing we need to be watching for is those opportunities that we can share so that others can be prepared as well. So, and that's the two greatest commandments, love God and love others. So that's what we need to be watching for. And I just growing up as a Christian, most of my adult life, good gracious, man, I know I'm supposed to watch. I really didn't put much stock into what I'm supposed to be looking for. And then I had to caution my son-in-law, who said, yeah, well, you know, because they're really starting to get into this. And he's like, yeah, we were listening to one person, and they said, yeah, the Antichrist is, and before he even said, I said, the Pope, right? And he said, yeah, this Pope, the Catholic Church is the Antichrist. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it looks like it's shaping up to be that way. We'll see what this next synod comes up with or whatever, you know. I can see that universal church, platform and Antichrist or whatever. Let me caution you with that because, one, Revelation is full of symbolism and those types of things or whatever, and you get the wrong symbol mixed up or whatever, and, You know, you might miss it. Is it going to be the calf? I don't know. But, you know, it kind of makes sense. It might be. But here's the problem with that. When you make those kind of assumptions that might not be clearly outlined in Scripture, then you're only looking at that direction. And then you're only looking at that church. But isn't the spirit of Antichrist already here according to the Word? And you could be looking overseas when you got issues right there in your backyard. And you're not watching for that. That's why I like this holistic thing of the feast or whatever, where I don't get tied down, I'm not led or deceived, I always want to be watchful of things going on. So that's really what we need to do to prepare. It's the steps, which is how I found all this stuff in the first place. So, you can take a look at Luke 12, 35 and 40. It's right there on the screen. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And what burns lamps? Oil. What's the Holy Spirit? There you go. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding. And when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Again, that's a reference to the parable of the ten, the rapture, the second coming of Christ. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, oh my God, this is just beautiful, looking at the rapture, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Again, that's that thing about, you know, I don't want to be focusing on just Europe, Catholic Church, the Pope, stuff like that. I want to be watchful for that spirit that's permeating throughout the world. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I just want to be a really good servant of God. And God still loves people. So I got to be watchful of people. Opportunities. Not every opportunity is a divine opportunity. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Not everybody gets $5 when I drive up to them and I see them on the road. Follow the Spirit. All right. Any questions on, and I will turn to, let me just tell you what we're getting ready to do. If there's no more questions on that, I'm just going to try to drive through 1 through 12, and some of this we've already hit before, on these major themes. And I wish I could share at the same time, but I'm going to scroll back up. I'm going to take a look at Revelation 22, because I think that's, can't remember what it is.
Let me say something.
Sure.
Here's what I think of when I say you're supposed to be watching. It means you're active.
Yes. I like that.
You know, you expect something, you're active, which means you're just not lethargic and not thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're anticipating, which leads to all other kind of things with the Holy Spirit. And instead of just being lackadaisical and not, it's not like just looking out the window.
Vigilant. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's not
an action word.
Yeah. It's almost like, yes, like behold. I can't remember one of the pastors used to be here.
It's more than just looking out the
window. It's really observing, it's analyzing. I like the vigilant. I'm doing the parable, I'm preaching the parable of the sower and the seed in the different soils or whatever, and I'm doing the one on the thorns, or the weeds, I call them weeds, thorns, whatever. But when I go in my front yard, I'm vigilant.
You know, Chuck,
I'm looking for weeds.
Vigilant is one of the units I was with in the military.
Yeah.
Their expression or their motto was always vigilant.
Yes.
Because they were always listening.
Yeah.
You know,
to see if there was anything brewing.
And this is good. Do we know it's coming?
Yes.
So we're vigilant. Thank you. I know when my lawn is looking good, I know what's coming next. Yes, a week.
You can wash your car if it rains.
I know a weed is coming sooner or later, and I know the season when the different weeds come, because I've been doing it long. I know they're coming. And I know stupid grass is coming too. Yeah, stupid grass is, I've got the, whatever my turf is or whatever.
Whatever's not your turf is stupid grass.
Yeah. Because stupid grass comes up after I cut it. It's all level, all the same color, everything or whatever. And then stupid grass grows faster than my good grass or whatever. And then I'm like, yeah, there's stupid. And it's a different color.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like an off green or whatever. It's lighter. And so it's just like, it's like highlight my doggone yard. Right. Stupid grass. Nut grass. All whatever it is. It's stupid grass. Yes.
Is it a botanical term?
What?
Stupid grass.
It's the common term for it. All right. I got some verses in Revelation just for grins. Revelation 22 and 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I come quickly. Doesn't seem like he's coming quickly.
But one day is as a thousand years.
Absolutely. That's good.
It's only been a couple of days.
Absolutely. And then, yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah. I heard somebody say that the other day. And I'm like, man, somebody's teaching that aspect. But see, this is where you want to look at, I see this as end time prophecy, but what does it mean for me right now? Will he come quickly for Deb? Will he come quickly for you and I? Will he come quickly for what we are going through? Will he come quickly in our trials and challenges? God is always rehearsing and practicing these steps in our lives. We practice them with him when we understand this is not just about what's going to happen in the future. He's a right now God. And I think we get stuck. I've always get stuck. He's coming quickly, but man, when's he? He's coming. All right. I've got verse 12 out here. I don't know why. Oh, because it's the same thing. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. That's a reference to the believer's judgment. Okay, in which hopefully I think we're going to get into that because we're making some good time today. All right, and then we got Revelation 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, which we didn't get to when we were in the garden, and may enter in through the gates into the city. All right, so here's the other thing that's important as part of preparation. Obedience is still key. Obedience is still key. If you're my son and I'm your father, yeah, but if you don't obey, that's a problem. Yes. In fact, I'll get a hireman to cut my grass, and then he'll obey, and then he'll get blessed. But obedience is still part of what we do. I heard one old preacher say, man is the only one that doesn't obey, has a problem obeying. Even the waves and the wind and the sea obey. All right. And then 17 through 20, I just love this because this is the end of Revelation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, he's the Holy Spirit, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's step 4, Holy Spirit. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Ooh. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And I just like this verse 20. He that testifies these things said, surely I come quickly, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. But I just still like that verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. All right. So I can go back to that first sheet because I'm toggling back and forth, and it might help out if because I went through and looked at all this stuff. But some of this I think I'll go back to the sheet and just kind of walk through the sheet. I hate having to toggle back and forth like this, but okay, so where is that? Oh, there it is right there. Okay. All right. So we went through this before, and these are the names or the nicknames or whatever of the different names of the Feast of Trumpets as it relates in Judaism. It's called the season of Teshuvah. This is one of the first things we talked about. That is the season of repentance. It's 40 days. It ends with the Day of Atonement, which is the second coming of Christ. And so it's that season of repentance. Teshuvah means to repent. All right? And 30 days into Teshuvah comes the Feast of Trumpets. So after 30 days, the Feast of Trumpets comes at the beginning of the month. All right? These 10 days between the 30th and the 40th are called the High Holy Days, also known as the Days of Awe. The tribulation falls within that time. Days of Awe. So this is on the website, if you want to take a look at it. I did not do this one. I had one, somebody else who took the feast course got all excited and went ahead and did this. And I'm like, oh, well, let me see what you got. And I just took it and been using it. I don't like some of the scriptural references that they use here. So I don't go to it a lot. Some of my, I have them there just in case the Lord gives me a revelation on them. So as you go through it, I'll highlight the ones that I typically use. And then the shofar is blown in Psalm 27. I like Psalm 27. It says the Psalm 27 is read each day during that 30-day preparation of personal examination. All right, which makes sense because you want to examine yourself before the rapture, so you're ready. All right. God always brings warning before judgment. So that's what Teshuvah is all about. It's just that warning period or whatever. The Jews believe that John the Baptist was probably out in the wilderness during this season of Teshuvah, doing his baptism in the wilderness. So they would have been sensitized to John being out there during this particular season. I don't know. I've got Genesis circled, I got Matthew circled, I got Isaiah circled. So I'm going to go through Genesis. My screen's going to stay where it is, but for those of you that are in here, let me see why I've got Genesis 7 highlighted. If you're on Zoom, you just have to turn there. You won't see it. Oh, it's the flood thing. That's where Genesis 7 is. Yeah. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Every clean beast thou shalt take by thee by sevens. Yeah. So he's given warning. And I can't remember where it is in the New Testament, but it said that Noah was preaching for a long time and nobody really listened. The other scripture is Matthew 24. That's just a no-brainer, where Christ is telling us in the Olivet Discourse of the sign of his return. So Matthew 24, 36 and 39. And this is a Hebrew idiom You'll see it later on in the outline. Mark 24 and 36, and this is the second coming. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Remember the Jewish wedding ceremony, the betrothal ceremony, where, you know, you ask the groom, when's the big day? No man knows but the Father, because he has to, you know, approve of the building of that wedding chamber. Here we go. Verse 37, that's why Noah's in there. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. Because God is always rehearsing and practicing these feasts. Because he's merciful. Wow. Verse 38, for as in the days that were before, and that just might be the New Testament scripture I was looking for. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They had to know what he was preaching because he was living a life that was built in the ark. What's this? What's he doing?
There's also scriptures in Hebrews 11:7 about that, too.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a crazy guy building a boat out in the middle of nowhere.
It says, being divinely warned,
yes,
of things not yet seen.
Yes.
Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark.
Yeah.
A warning again.
And if God is practicing, and we just said, I believe through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that not only are we watching for the judgment to come, but we're also looking for those opportunities to share with others so that they might be able to be saved as well. I know he had to be preaching. Because God's always practiced. Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. Did God exercise mercy and was there preaching there? Mm-hmm. Didn't Lot preach to his son-in-law, his family? Son-in-law said, you crazy? And the daughter said, we're getting out of here with Dad. Alright? Same thing here. God is still... And the sad thing about it is, we know what's going to happen. We know people are going to be left behind. Look at what's happening. I can't believe that people hate Jews like they hate Jews. You would have thought that would have broken us during the Holocaust. You would think. But God's just practicing, just rehearsing. Yeah, I don't mess with Israel. I'm trying to get blessed. Yeah. All right. Verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Well, those people were watching, physically watching him build the ark, but they weren't doing the other things that we were talking about. Yeah. Right?
Well, they didn't do the steps. One.
They were watching
it
being built.
Yeah. Well, and they sure weren't vigilant. That's love that word. Right. They sure weren't vigilant. They were watching, but they were not closely observing what's going on. And I think people we're still watching things happen. We're still watching things happening in the church, and we're not vigilant. It's like, let them all in. You know, yeah. Praise the Lord. It's all right. You know, it's crazy. You know what? And that's one of the things I'm watching for, that I don't get crazy.
Crazier.
I think that was a shot. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ani.
You have to stay narrow-minded. Because
if you don't watch it,
straight and narrow. Now, see, this is what I like about understanding the feast in the Old Testament. We're talking Old Testament stuff here, talking New Testament stuff, and as we're going through this sequence that all comes out of Leviticus 23 and God's plan, notice how New Testament scriptures are getting popped into this conversation, because now we're getting a greater understanding of what some of this stuff actually means.
Yes.
And that God is really just rehearsing. And rather than seeing a brutal God in the Old Testament, we really see a God of mercy, like, this is what this means. So, All right. Then, you know, you got 42 in the field, one taken, one left. you know, again, a sign of the rapture. The other scripture I have there, oh yeah, I like that. I like Isaiah. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, that's good stuff. It's Old Testament, but it's good stuff. Isaiah 26 and 2 and 3. I love this. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Opening of the gates is symbolic of the rapture, Feast of Trumpets. Now I know everybody's heard 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's leading up, those steps lead up to that. 1921. I love 1921. Again, I'm just bouncing through a lot of this scripture or whatever, you know. Thy dead men shall live. What? Together with my dead body shall they arise. Christ's first fruits. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Who's that? My mom, my dad,
believers.
For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Tell me what this is a reference to. Verse 20. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers, the wedding chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment until, even Al knows this one, until the indignation be overpassed.
Yeah.
What is that? Tribulation. Judgment of the earth. Just like Noah's Ark. Man, you just can't make this stuff up. It's a divine God with a divine plan.
Yep. It's going to be 7 days like in the wedding chamber?
It'll be a week. He will fulfill the week. Just like Jacob fulfilled the week for Rachel and Leah. Verse 21. And then after the tribulation, now we got in. All of this is Isaiah 26. It's awesome. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place, that chamber, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Cover up, fake news, over with, he's coming. That's right. Okay. And I wrote down Psalm 27, but I just love Psalm 27. When I was sick, and Psalm 27 was one of the Psalms that I went to. Absolutely.
One of my absolute favorites.
Yeah. Let me go back to the Feast of Trumpets or whatever. And so now that takes care of that. Now, so that's Teshuvah. Now, it is also called Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year. All right. It's celebrated for 2 days.
That's kind of what we hear. That's what I hear more of today.
Yes. Yes. It's the head of the year because it's called the birthday of the world. Because when he shifted the calendar, it's the difference between the civil calendar and the spiritual calendar. All right? It is the only feast, I know we've been over this before, but it's the only feast that happens at the beginning of the month, or the beginning of the new moon of the Jewish month, since they have a lunar calendar. And it was, the second day was added, if you see that second bullet, the second day was added, so the word could spread throughout Israel that the Feast of Trumpets was begun. Talking about ancient times. So it picked up this nickname. And that's where you hear the Jewish idiom, day that no man knows, because you don't know whether it's the first or the second day. It is also called Yom Teruah, the day of the awakening blast. I don't look at Psalm 98 and 6 that much, But I certainly do look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and 53. So let me go back to that if I can find it. 1 Corinthians 15. I just love that. Let me see. I'm looking for something else here, too, as I'm looking at this. Oh, yeah. I always like verse 29 of 1 Corinthians. I'm sure I shared that with you. You know, he's got that argument of, hey, some of you don't believe in the resurrection. Well, if you don't believe in the resurrection, why do you follow this tradition of baptizing your dead in preparation of them coming to the Lord? Why are you doing religion if you don't believe in what religion is pointing to as far as, you know, the resurrection? All right. Oh, and I like this one too. Why stand thee in jeopardy? Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? That's so scary. That's so sad. All right, 51. The mystery of resurrection. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Reference? Rapture. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Do I have to wait for the rapture in order to be changed? No, you better be changed before the rapture. He always works from the inside out. There's a spiritual change before you see the outward change. Isn't that right, Luke? In wrestling, before you pin your opponent or beat your opponent, do you beat them from the outside first or from the inside first? Well, no, think about it in the natural. You got an opponent in front of you, right? What are you thinking on the inside?
I'm gonna beat him.
You're not smart.
Yeah, you're gonna beat him. That came from where?
Inside.
Yeah. If you're not thinking right on the inside, then you're going to face what's on the outside with fear and trepidation, and it's going to be a whole lot harder for you to put a whooping on what's hitting you on the outside. He works from the inside out.
And so on the flip side of that, when he's the one getting beat, where's his reversals going to come from?
Oh, I still got faith.
From the inside. Because
I'm looking at this thing. I'm understanding, okay, what's going on here? I need to figure out what's going on, blah, blah, blah. I still got hope. I know whoever was playing Colorado 2 weeks ago. They didn't give up. All right? And even if I lose, I win. Because I learned that from him as far as the wrestling is. Because it's how you lose. And then the lessons that I pick up from it. So I might lose this match, but I tell you what, the next guy might be in a little bit of trouble because I had picked up some stuff along the way. But it comes from the inside. That's one of the things that I had difficulty with when I was trying to turn my son into Michael Jordan or whatever. Didn't have the eye of the tiger at the time. I can teach you everything on the outside, but, you know, took him to go see Rudy. Hey, watch Rudy, you know. Get the eye of the tiger.
I had him
watch it. Look at Rocky. Look at him running after the chicken. Get the eye of the tiger. I could not make him do that. He got it on his own, but could not, because it starts from the inside. Norm, you got to be able to understand that. All those kids you got, you know. I ain't talking, man. You got football players out. Yeah, it starts from the inside. Why not have that kind of competitive, you know, vigilance? That's the word I'm looking for, yeah. In our spiritual life.
Yeah.
Starts from the inside. All right. Didn't Christ return, then we would still be changed. All right. So that's Matthew, 1 Corinthians. For this incorruptible, well, this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So that's the awakening in black. Now, the key on that is he tells you what trump it is.
The last trump.
The last trump. Again, Hebrew idiom. And Genesis 22, all right, and I don't pay attention to this first coming, Zechariah 9:9. He comes on the horse and stuff like that. That's fine. I like Thessalonians 4:16-17. Daniel 12, I think we should go there. But the trumpets were named. And let me scroll down just a little bit here. We'll see it later on in this outline. But, well, here it is right here. The right horn of the ram is sounded during the Feast of Trumpet. And that second trumpet is known as the last trumpet. I know we've gone through this before. Oh, here it is right here. Genesis 22, 1 through 14. For the sake of time, I won't go through it. But it's when Abraham takes Isaac to Mount Moriah. That's a whole other study. It's very powerful. Isaac, a type of Christ, as he carries the wood up to the sacrifice. Abraham, the loving father. When you look at Acts, you kind of see Abraham thinking that he was going to raise his son up again, the great faith that he uses in that. And then the ram is caught in a thicket by its horns. And the Jews have named those horns. The left horn is called the first trump. The right horn is called the last trump. They would understand this. First trump was blown at Exodus 19. Mount Sinai, Feast of Pentecost. The last trump is blown as part of the fifth feast, Feast of Trumpets, the rapture. Alright? So he's specifically naming the trumpet. Paul is. And Paul's a Hebrew. He knows.
He didn't unlearn all of that.
No. What he did was he got a greater understanding of the symbolism and the religion. It's one thing to have religion. It's another thing to have the depth of the understanding and know how to apply the religion. So he's speaking to an audience that would know what he knows. The third trumpet's called, this is another, it's called the Great Trumpet. And it's sounded on the Day of Atonement when Christ comes back. You will see that in Matthew 24:27-33. Christ actually uses the term Great Trumpet in the scripture. So he's letting you know which trumpet this is. Isaiah 27:13 also talks about that third trumpet. He calls it by name Great Trumpet. All right? So those scriptures are good. What does Daniel say? Let me see what Daniel's saying. Daniel 12, 1 and 2. Because you can't do an end time prophecy without really looking at Daniel. So let me just see what Daniel 1 and 2 says. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. All right, that's the second judgment. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That supports what we said at the beginning of this lesson. Not only are we watching to keep ourselves, but we're watching also to see that we might be able to turn others into righteousness. I need to be able to shine, Jesus, shine. All right? Or as Al in the old church, we would say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Whoa, this little... Oh, he did it.
Oh, he did it.
He ain't forgot. He ain't forgot. No, you don't forget stuff like that. All right, Yom Hadin.
It's never
there you go, man. Yom Hadin. It is also called the Day of Judgment or the Believer's Judgment. I'm not going to get into a lot of this one because we're going to see some more judgment later on. This is just one of their, you know, again, according to the Talmud, the Jewish oral traditions. There's a book. You got a book of wives. You got a book of the wicked. A book of remembrance. This is commentary. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in it or whatever because I don't see a whole lot of scripture to back a lot of this up. You know, you got three pieces in the book. It might make sense. You got the holy righteous, which is the believer's judgment. That's us. Better be us. You got the holy wicked. Still today. Ain't no Christ in them at all.
Well, hang on just a second.
And you got these intermediates.
Hang on. You said inscribed and sealed, never to be saved. Now that's, you get the...
Commentary.
That's Calvin.
I'm skipping on down. Commentary. Because I'm not Calvinistic. I ain't going there.
I will. Oral something?
It is oral tradition. Talmud.
Oral tradition.
You got the Mishnah and you got the Talmud.
Okay.
I like what Pastor Phipps said back in the day when dealing with that issue. He said there's a difference between predestination and foreknowledge. I already know some things that are going to happen. I'm still going to preach to you because I'm trying to cause you to change the outcome of your future. Mm-hmm. But if I know you already just stuck on stupid, then I'm like, you know, it is what it is. You stuck on stupid, but I'm still going to preach to you to give you that opportunity. Right. As opposed to you are absolutely lost in going to this. All right? So... That's how I liked how Pastor Phipps back in the day kind of resolved that for me. I know where the train tracks go, all right, because I peeked around the corner of the hill and I see where the train tracks go. That doesn't mean I've predestined, you know, mm-hmm. it to be like that. Yeah. So again, I don't like spending a whole lot of time on commentary. I'm still remembering what we read in Revelation. You don't add anything to it. You don't take anything away. So if I don't have any scripture to confirm it in the spirit, we just keep on moving. So, commentary. Let's keep on moving. All right. Oh, this I thought this was interesting, though. The tribe of Dan is in the month of Tishri, and God is judgment. Dan means God is judgment. I do like that one because of scripture, and two, it's Leah, and Leah is naming her children in the order of. Yes. So somewhere in there, Dan ought to have been somewhere around 6 or 7. I don't know I don't speak Hebrew, but usually the way it's written is the way it's said. So this is Ha-Melech, I think. It's the coronation of the king. Some of this is commentary as well. But we see on this day the coronation of the king will happen in heaven. Revelation 5, 11 through 13. We read that a couple weeks ago. Where he's seated on the throne before the opening of the seals in Revelation 6. Alright. I like Revelation 19, 16. We read that as well. Revelation 20. That's the real rider on the white horse coming. King of kings, Lord of lords. There you go. So the coronation kind of related to, you know, this rapture. Again, there's this judgment thing in Daniel 7:19. The books are opened. I do have that one highlighted. We won't look at that one today, but it talks about the books that are going to be opened, because there's another scripture I like. And then, of course, we looked at Revelation 4:1-2 before, you know, the door standing open in heaven. Again, a picture of the rapture where heaven is open for us to come in. All right. That's another name for the Feast of Trumpets, the opening of the gates. So we can come in. It's all, I'm not even going to try that one. Al, you can try it if you want to. But it's also called the Day of Remembrance. And we're supposed to remember God. And I didn't like a whole lot of the scripture here. It's not bad. I mean, you know, Genesis 8:1, God remembered Noah. God remembers us. We're supposed to remember God. So they made a reference there of the Book of Remembrance. And again, I didn't put this one together, but as I looked at this, I didn't really see. Well, I did like 1 Corinthians. I do like 1 Corinthians 3:9. Yeah, I do like 1 Corinthians. Let me see. Did I do the Bema Seat judgment on this? Yeah, let's turn to... Now, you can write this down and do your own research on it. Bema Seat judgment. B-E-M-A judgment. You can Google that up. I'm sure somebody's written about that. But the Bema Seat judgment out of Corinthians talks of the believer's judgment. And that is scriptural, and I like that. So there's a judgment. There are three judgments. Well, there are a lot of judgments, but there are three judgments to come. You've got the, and I wrote this down, you've got the judgment seat of Christ. That's the believer's judgment. That's for us. Yay! All right. You got the judgment of the nations. That's in Matthew 25. That's the Gentile nations. That's that whole sheep goat thing going on. All right. And then you got the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20. That's the unbeliever's judgment. So that whole Jewish commentary thing of, you know, the holy righteous, the holy wicked, the intermediates with, you know, I'm going to get saved in tribulation or whatever. I'm going to do it the hard way. might line up with this. We'll see. But I'm banking on this judgment in 1 Corinthians 3. So in 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, verse 10, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What is the foundation of Christ? What does that look like?
to me, it looks like mercy to start with. The mercy he gives us if we believe in him.
So the foundational rocks of our belief looks like what?
Let's believe in Jesus is what he said.
If somebody in this class don't say the steps, I don't know what I'm doing.
Mercy is
a
step, but I mean,
that's
it.
Well, he gives us mercy, which is his first step or whatever, because he sees the need to give us mercy. But our foundation that we're believing on is 1, the cross, because he did that for us. 2, the grave, because he did that for us. 3, the resurrection, which is, isn't that how we come to faith in the first place?
Yeah.
Whoever confesses that he came, died, and rose again shall be saved. That's the foundation. Then we've got the whole Holy Spirit thing going on or whatever, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we figure what we're going to build upon that foundation, and it better be mercy involved in that, because that's part of what I'm trying to get at step 5. So it's that foundation. And here's what we say. No other foundation can man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, which he's already fulfilled the first 4 building blocks. The other 3 are coming. Here we go. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's works shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. It's going to be tested. Part of the judgment. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. This is the believer's judgment. What the Jews call the bema seat. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not, ye are the temple of God, blah, blah, blah. So this is a believer's judgment. It is not a judgment of our sins. Because that's already been taken care of through the blood of Christ, which is foundational. Praise God for that. The mercy. Now it is, how good of a believer were we? Pardon me?
And he called the mercy seat?
Well, that's the mercy seat is down. Well, mercy sits on top of that. No. Your concept is correct. It's I have peace with God. That's all coming in the next.
Oh, okay, I see it now.
Yep. Okay? So, how do I make sure that I'm building upon the foundation something that doesn't get burnt up through the believer's judgment? Because I want to, you know.
Make sure it lines up with the word.
Yes. Word, steps, Holy Ghost. You can have the foundation of Christ and build something along that foundation that was not led by the Spirit, and we not even know until the believer's judgment comes. Use the Holy Spirit to guide what we do. All right? It helps you to watch. Got it? Mm-hmm. You on the wrestling team? Still on the wrestling team?
Yeah.
Amen. Got it. You going to have some matches? Yep, amen. All right. You going to win some matches? You going to lose some matches?
Probably.
Oh, probably. Oh, that's it. All right. Okay, anyway. All right. If you lose one, are they going to kick you off the team?
Yeah.
This man is just preached to you again.
God's not going to kick us off when we mess up.
Just keep on wrestling. Just keep on wrestling. Just keep on going to practice. Just keep on wrestling. I ain't going to get kicked off the team. That is the security of the believer's judgment. Alright? I watch to make sure my foundation is secure. Alright. Now, running out of time. Let me see where we are. How close are we to finishing this? Alright, so that's the bema seat of the believer's judgment. That's your scripture that points to that. All right. Oh, boy. Yeah. It is called the birth pangs of the Messiah, or time of Jacob's trouble. I'm going to stop right there. So we are close. We will finish this next week. If you want to read ahead, we will take a look at Jacob's time of trouble. This gets kind of deep stuff here. We can cover it pretty quickly, but it gets kind of deep. But so we're going to pick up at... So we've done 1, 2... Yeah, we've done 1 through 6. Good.
Got halfway through.
Yeah,
halfway
up. So,
you hear that, Davey?
Time of trouble is next. Opening up.
That's pretty good for one day.
Yeah. Opening up the gates is coming next. We've already done the wedding ceremony.
Yeah.
So I have to do that one. And we'll look at the resurrection of the dead. And we've already talked about the last trump. And we've already talked about the hidden days. So these will come quickly. So, there you go.
So good.
And I guess my question to everybody is, as we get ready to wrap this up, what does this mean to us today? How can we use what we just talked about today going forward, like today? What stood out? What blessed you?
Be ready.
Yeah, I'm writing that. I'm writing that. That's the word. That's the word.
The watch and the way kind of coincide there, because a lot of times in scripture they use the word wait.
Yeah.
But wait is an action word too. We don't just sit on our fists and lay back on our thumb while we wait.
Oh, that's kind of deep there. Let me think about that. Wait means be still, but that's still an action, because while I'm waiting,
I'm watching,
I'm still going through my steps.
Waiting in expectation.
I like the idea of Christ comes back. The disciples have experienced the foundation of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection,
his ascension.
And he stands out there before the Feast of Pentecost, and he says, you know, he's taken up on a cloud, same way I'm leaving, it's the same way I'm coming back, rapture. And then all of them are just sitting there looking at him as the cloud goes away, you know. Kind of like when my kids come to visit, and they're getting ready to leave. And I'll stand out there, because my dad used to do this with me, so I do it because my dad. I never understood why he was doing it, but I guess he liked me when he was doing it. But every time they get ready to leave, I'll always stand outside and I'll watch them until they are completely out of my sight. Why do we do that? Carolyn,
I'm coming back to what we were talking about in waiting. One of the things that God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me about when we were studying Ruth was, like, you know, Boaz was a dress rehearsal for
yes.
Jesus. Well, while Boaz was doing what he needed to do for Ruth, she was working and she was being faithful in the field, and she was beating the grain. So it doesn't mean we're to sit back and we're to be faithful, we're to stay diligent in what we're doing, and it's going to be hard work.
And this is why I thought it was so interesting. That's very good, Carolyn. This is why I thought it was so interesting. Because I always wonder, the disciples are sitting there and they're doing what I do with my kids because of their great love. And they must have felt like sad. He's gone. I know he said he's coming back, but is he ever really going to come back? What are we going to do now? Had such a good time during the visit, and now they're gone. What's going to happen? And the angel hits the disciples and says, ye men of Judea, Galilee, wherever they're from, why are you standing there?
Yes. Go ye therefore and make disciples.
So I don't have a problem standing waiting for them to get out of sight, because the angel didn't come until he was out of sight. I think it's okay to share our love and to show them how much we love them as they leave. Because that's what I used to do when my dad used to watch before he passed. I'm like, hey, Dad's still out there. You know, he must love me. This must be sad for him. And it made me sad that I had to leave. I almost wanted to turn around and come back and spend some more time. But I know I've got, this is good preaching. I know I've got someplace else better to go. And if I don't go, I'm not serving him well. Gotta go. And so he let me go. And he would just watch me. And I do the same thing with my kids just to let them know the great love I have for you. But I don't stand out there too long. Once they're gone, I'm back to work. I'm back to doing what I need to do to prepare for the next time that they come. I think everything we do in the natural, if we put it side by side with the Word of God, it will give us the spiritual revelation of what we're doing. We took a natural example of us, you can't relate to this yet, of how we love our kids and how they go, to what's happening in that New Testament scripture. Isn't it awesome how we can talk about this and those New Testament scriptures just keep popping and popping and popping and gives us a greater understanding of what we're supposed to do today? We've got to get busy. Got to be careful. There's a lot of deception in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. So I watch myself. I watch my actions. I follow the steps. And I look for opportunities to share this with somebody else. We ought to be grieved. I'm really sad that there are going to be people that are not going to pick up what we're listening to right now.
As we were reading that last night, the thing that came to my heart is for the Jews who aren't Christians and how they had all of this Old Testament stuff, and it's there, and they don't understand it, and they're going to miss it too.
So we'll talk a little bit about that next week. All right. So.
And what you said about Luke doesn't understand it yet.